Okay, so in our parsha, as we say, we have the problem with Am Yisrael coming and telling God they want to eat meat. The funny thing is that not everybody noticed it, but when we go to the parasha of the man, which happened right after they went out of Egypt, and they got the man from heaven, and now if you get man from heaven, which means that's the best food that you can get. That's a heavenly food from God Himself. So it's like, to understand the point, you have to understand what's going on here. Let's say you have this unbelievable food, and suddenly you have this desire to eat in a worker restaurant and have a schnitzel with the oil. What's going on here?
But what does the man look like?
That's exactly one of the problems. The man is like, if you want to understand what it's all about, it's, imagine to yourself, and it's not far from the truth, by the way, that I think those who go to space, they have those special food that it's dry food, it's sometimes like pills and things. So imagine that you go to this beautiful restaurant and you order filet mignon. They bring you this big plate covered with this big silver thing, and the waiter opens it, and then you see this small pill. Says, I ordered filet mignon. Says, that's filet mignon. Eat. Says, what do you mean? Says, eat. You put it in your mouth. Wow. Filet mignon. Then you ask for dessert. And you want this. You see on the menu, you've got this chocolate
souffle
with
cream
and things. Says, okay, oh, I like this. Okay, no problem. No problem.
Again,
they bring you this big plate with a silver cover. Raise up the cover, and you see two pills. One is green, the other one is red. Says, what's this? Says, the red one is like the chocolate part, and this is the cream. Says, what do you mean? I don't see any cream. I don't see any cake. What's going on here? Says, taste it.
Use your imagination.
You taste it? Wow, unbelievable. But I ask you, maybe you do it once. Imagine to yourself that every day that's what's happening with you. Instead of getting this state that you can cut and smell and feel and
bite
and feel slowly how it goes in.
Come on.
And also when you see, you know, when you go to restaurants, they put it in a nice way. So it's also, looking at it is already.
Absolutely. You've got to make it look appetizing.
Yes. So, how long can you eat pills?
But what I cannot understand till now, it's they were slaves. They ate this filet mignon, or they ate the good food. They were slaves.
No, but
they had food, but they were poor. They were slaves. They had this filet mignon and this alaesh or something that they are complaining.
They haven't got it now also, that's the problem. They haven't got it now also. They have to imagine and then they feel the taste. That's what it was. The man was a special food.
But they didn't know the taste.
But everybody likes something. You understand? Everybody likes something?
Yeah.
So instead of filet mignon, it's chicken on grill, okay?
Okay?
No, what Regina would say is that
they don't know what is good food.
No, because
how many years they were slaves? 200 years. They eat only.
I'll explain it to you in a very simple way.
What they ate.
I took my children once years ago to eat in a fancy restaurant, and we ordered
Only once you took them to eat in a fancy
restaurant when they were kids.
Oh, then I understood. Now you take them all the time.
Then I understood that as kids, I better bring them to a nice restaurant that gives you good food. And they had, it was, I don't know what it was, goose in...
Goose liver paste.
No, not goose liver, goose with, how do you say, orange and...
sauce.
Something like this, but sweet. What's this? They couldn't eat it.
Because they never had it.
Never had it.
You get give children pizza and hamburgers.
Okay, so now, you see, for them, this fancy food was nothing. On the contrary, they didn't like it.
Now,
if you take this guy who is used to this fancy food and you're taking to a worker restaurant, Mis'edet Po'alim, and you offer him whatever they've got there, for example, you have schnitzel, you have
rice.
Soup, rice, and you know, sometimes you go to a place, you have the schnitzel that you...
drop the shim.
It's, let's say, it's oil with schnitzel. It's not schnitzel with oil, with little oil, it's oil with schnitzel sometimes. And you see this big guy eating it. Ah, wow. Give me another one. Now you give this other guy who is used to this fancy food to eat one schnitzel like this.
And
2 minutes later, you see him in the toilet. Puking. It's too simple for him. But each one of them likes something else. But that's exactly what was the point. The man had the power to change itself by taste to whatever you like. So if you like a schnitzel with oil, it would be schnitzel with oil. If you like goose liver, it would be goose liver. If you like duck with oranges and dates, it will be duck and oranges with dates. You taste whatever you want to. But at the end of the day, you don't see it, you don't smell it, you only taste it. It's like, they say it's what, umar'ehu ke'en abdolach. So you can imagine, you know what, let's take another lesson in imagination. Let's say this is the man. It's a glass of water. You take steak. Dessert.
Alright, so let's see if we cut Amazon already.
Yes. I ate too much. I have to do a diet.
You know,
now, is this a way to eat?
No.
So, doing this, they got tired, says, what is this? What is this, man? We want real food. So, from one point of view, you can understand it.
But it's human nature, that's why.
Yes. So, why were they punished severe?
For 40 years, they ate like
this. I'm saying. It got out of their nose. How do you say? Yatsala
me'af. People have like memories that my in-laws had these friends who came from Poland, and they were in the concentration camp. They were suffering through the whole
thing. Yeah.
And we're sitting in, and they're talking about the wonderful food that they're missing from Poland.
Because you see, this is what you're used to. It's like everybody likes the food that his mother made. You know, sometimes it's, wow, my mother, she makes food. And he invites you and you sit and eat. What is this? And he... because this is what he was... used to. And you know, the real truth is, his mother loves him and she does the food for him. He feels the love coming through the food. But somebody else cannot feel it. But that's just exactly the point. Now imagine to yourself, this is what you've got every day. How long can you do this? So, can we understand the complaint? We can.
Yeah.
Now, if we can understand the complaint, of course God understands the complaint.
So why
now, why were they punished so badly?
That's right.
That's the question. Why? So, let's understand why. So, when we go back to the man, we see that in Parashat Haman, in the morning they got the man, and in the evening, slav. Written in Parashat Haman, which means that they're eating slav for 40 years.
What is slav?
This what they got now. Slav is this bird that they eat. Slav, it's called slav.
Yeah.
The meat.
Bird?
What?
Is a bird?
Yes.
Slav?
Yes, slav is a bird.
Mm. Okay.
A kosher bird. They eat kosher.
Yeah, of course.
So that's you sing it on Shabbat.
That's what they eat.
Instead of the man, they got
sing. No, they got the man, they got. They said we want meat. Now the problem is that if we look at it as one case and don't look what happened before, so we can understand their complaint. But if we go back and we realize that according to the psukim, the pshat, that they already are getting meat every day. So now we cannot understand the complaint.
But did they get...
Yes. If you look in Parashat Aman, if you have, this is, what is this? This is Sefer, no, this is Sefer, you can look in the Siddur, this is a...
No.
There is all, it's a Siddur,
everyone? No, it's okay, Bereshit, Shmot, Beshalach, yes, sorry.
When the people wanted food, okay? When
what do you say? When they went out of Egypt?
In Gan Eden.
Yes.
When the people wanted, they weren't satisfied, they only had fruit and vegetables.
Yes.
Okay, and then they wanted to eat meat. So Hashem rest, okay, but they must only have meat that, from a cow, they choose a cud and clover and hooves. And the laws of kashrut were laid then.
Yes, you want the Mount Sinai. You're talking about the Mount of Sinai. Yeah, okay, so. Okay, so.
It was before Sinai.
No, it's not before Sinai.
Didn't it happen when...
This is now after many, many years in the desert.
So I'm saying that the people must have known what meat is.
Of course.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what I'm saying. That's what, if when we look at it at the right eyes, then we have a problem. When I put the picture in front of you, like you're eating every day the same thing, which looks like maybe like a diamond, doesn't care. But you don't want to eat diamonds. You want to eat real food. And you haven't got real food. But now we realize that they do have real food. That with the man that they got in the morning... Which you can talk, okay, this is a heavenly food, and they couldn't stand to eat this anymore. But every evening, again, there are a lot of perushim. But according to the pshat, if I look at the pshat, in Parashat, in Beshalach, in Shmot, you will see it's written very clearly. ויאמר משה בטאת השם לכם בערב בשר לאכול. What's written here? בשר לאכול ולחם בבוקר לשבוע. In other words, in the morning they got the man and in the evening got basar. They got meat. Sure. Now you will ask, okay, maybe it wasn't the same meat that they're getting now. So then, what's written?
Doesn't matter, but it was meat.
No. You will see, it's exactly the same meat. That's exactly the point.
The same meat?
The same meat, exactly.
But Meg, did it generate...
Vayi ba'erev, vatal aslav al hamachane. In other words, the minute they got out of Egypt... They got not only the man every day, they got also meat, and exactly the meat that we're talking about in our parsha, the slav. So what's going on here?
Is that it like they got the man from heaven? 40 years, was it 40 years?
They got the man from heaven.
Was it really 40 years? What's the name is always...
It doesn't matter if it was 40 years, 2 years, or 3 years, or 4 years. Even if it's 1 year, even if it's 1 year, to eat 1 year the same thing every day, you also...
No matter what age you are.
What doesn't matter?
Because if
you want to eat, you want to have real food. You're a human being. You want to have real food.
But a five-year-old, if they...
A five-year-old wants a milky, okay? Wants what's they called...
Yes.
So now the question now is a real question. So what is the complaint about?
That's right.
And what exactly did they get? If they got what they already get, what's going on here? So some of the friends say that they got only the slav 1 day or 2 days. I'm not going into it. But the pshat says very clearly that they got every day meat. And what meat? The slav. Well, and that's exactly the problem.
But slav is like chicken. It's a bird. Maybe they want you...
But they get the same thing now. That's what I'm saying. That's what my question. Yeah, that was my question. So maybe they wanted a different meat.
Right.
But they got... What meat did they got? the same one that they're already getting. Not just the same thing.
Right.
So what's going on here? The thing is that that's exactly the point. The complaint was not about eating meat. The complaint was of having this desire to be, let's say, connected more to the flesh and not so connected to the spiritual side. And that is when that's what the Torah is telling us. When we look very carefully at the psukim, we will see here. Now something very interesting is happening here. One minute, I want to find it. So then God hears the complaint and he says, "Ve'elam tomar," you tell the people, "Itkatshu lemachar," sanctify yourself for tomorrow, "Ve'achaltem basar," and you will eat meat, "Ki bechitem bo'oznei Hashem," because you cried in the ears of God, "Lehemor mi achilenu basar," who is going to feed us meat? "Ki tov lanu b'mitzrayim," we had it beautiful in Egypt. What did you talk about? And then, "Venatan Hashem lachem basar," and now look what's happening. "Natan Hashem lachem basar ve'achaltem," and you will eat it. Now you understand. This is now an order. At this point of view, at this point, they have to eat.
Eat and choke on it, huh?
That's what's happening. It says, "Lo yom echad," not one day, "Velo yomayim," and not 2 days, "Velo chamisha yamim," and not 5 days, "Velo asara yamim," and not 10 days, "Velo esrim yom," and not 20 days. "Ad chodesh yamim," a whole month, "ad asher yetze me'apchem." Look at this is unbelievable expression. That's written. "Ad asher yetze me'apchem." You complain that you had enough with this heavenly food, it got out of your nose. You will have now this food, and this food will get out of your nose.
Tough
food.
So,
and yet they had sacrifices with bull and everything.
Let's say they didn't have sacrifices yet. It's not only they had cattle. They had a lot of cattle. They had a lot of things. In other words, when you try to look at the picture doesn't look good. It means there is something in here. The complaint is not about eating meat. What is the complaint? So the Torah is telling us very clearly what it is. And this is here. "V'asafsuf asher bekirbo," that's the Erev Rav, those who came with Am Yisrael. "Itavu ta'ava." What is itavu ta'ava? Itavu. They had the desire for what? For what? Ta'ava. Itavu ta'ava. In other words, what is... That's the problem. Not the desire for meat. Itavu ta'ava. In other words, the only thing was they had this desire for... Yeah.
They didn't want
to be in this spiritual level.
Yeah.
They want to go after their desires.
Yeah.
The meat desires. The flesh and blood desires.
Exactly.
That's why you have Egypt. Because Mitzrayim was idol worshippers, eating, like being connected to your physical part.
Yeah.
That's what's happened.
Like, and disconnected from your spiritual power.
Yeah.
And of course it's come from whom? From the Asafsuf. Because the Asafsuf are really Egyptians.
Mm-hmm.
That are even more connected. And they came with Am Yisrael and they had the influence on Am Yisrael, because what's written here, "Vayashuvu vayifku gam b'nei Yisrael." They started it and Am Yisrael joined it.
Yeah.
So now we understand why they were punished so severely. Because the thing is, was not we want to eat meat. is we want to be materialistic. We want to run after our desires. We want to have fun. We don't want to be spiritual.
It's still happening.
It's happening every day. That's what we're learning. That's why we're learning it.
The cake of seven layers.
Oh, sorry.
The people prefer the cake from seven layers.
In other words, now we can look at the picture in different eyes. Now we realize that it's because at the first complaint, they also complained, we haven't got anything to eat. So God gave them. And maybe even then they asked not nicely, because you have to trust God. God is going to provide. Why do we complain? But God understood. They're coming out of Egypt, they've got nothing to eat. Also, so I'm going to give them the man, and I'm going to give them the slav, the meat. So he gave them, he didn't punish them the first time. But now this is not the real thing.
Years later,
you're not asking for eating food. You're asking to be connected to your lowest part that you've got. In other words, you want to be connected to the flesh and blood, to the meat, and not to the spiritual side. Because the man is a spiritual food. So now we understand what's going on.
So then it hasn't taught a lesson.
Of course they learned a lesson, because people were dying in a magifa, in a plague.
No, now it's not.
Now we have to learn a lesson. That's why we're learning this.
No, but the wrong people are learning it.
Yes, but you see, the point is that we have to put things in proportion. We have to put things in proportion. It's like, I'm writing about this week. When you come to a wedding today, what do you see in a wedding? Not long ago, I've been on a wedding. This guy was a very rich family. Wow, what they didn't have there. You know, I was thinking to myself, 1 minute, ask me, why did I come here tonight? To eat? Why did I come here? To eat?
To celebrate the simchas.
And sometimes you get muddled up. Because you see, everything is around it. The beautiful food. And you forget that you came here for what? For a wedding. A Jewish simcha of building a Jewish home. It's like those, you have the stalas with these gold things on top of it. And the tzitzis itself is a machine made. So that's what. What is more important? The silver on the talus, or the tzitzit that is going to be made in a handmade by a tzaddik? What is more important? Yeah, but the tzitzit is made by a tzaddik, you don't see. But this, you see. There is a mitzvah, ze eliva anveu. We say it in Shirat Hayam, that you have to do the mitzvahs in a nice way. But unfortunately, here also, we take what is the important part and we mix it. And we put it as a not so important part. Instead of, let's say, going to God with all the kedusha, we're looking at the outside. What is more important? The menorah, the Hanukkah menorah, that is going to be from silver and 2 meters high, or to lit it with oil, pure oil? What is more important?
Pure oil.
The pure oil. But the pure oil, who sees? Who knows it's pure or not? Only you. But they see that I've got this big Hanukkiah that they see, everybody sees. And that's what we do all the time. No, I'm not saying that you shouldn't have nice things for mitzvahs. Of course you should. But don't forget what is important. Don't forget why you're doing it.
I saw a man today wearing tzitzis on his shirt.
Yeah, this rabbi who I don't remember his name, on his jacket is got tzitzis, because his jacket is cut here, so it's got tzitzis on the cut, because there are 4 knafot, so 4. Yeah. Okay.
Doesn't matter. Like the kids who play basketball, they have on their T-shirt.
Yes. So again, the idea is very simple. What we have to learn here is, yes, we are connected to both sides of our body. To the soul and to the body. And we have to learn to live with it in a right way. And this is Be'alotcha et hanerot. El mul pnei ha-menorah ya'iru hanerot. It's not written when you light the candles. But when you Be'alotcha. What is Be'alotcha? When you raise up the candles? What does it mean? But that's exactly the point. When you raise up the light of the menorah, you understand that you have to look up. and you will elevate yourself. That's the idea. Elevate the menorah, elevate the soul. What is the menorah about? What it is all about? I'll tell you what it's all about. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avot says, Aser etzono kirtzoncha, do your will as the will of God, kedei, before, because, she'aser etzoncha kirtzoncha. He will make your will as his will. It's very strange what we're saying here. But what's the idea behind it? The idea behind it says, the Bnei Binyamin, he explains, and he says, Bedome leze matzino, like this we found out, שהקדוש ברוך הוא אומר לאדם, the Kodesh Baruch Hu comes to human being and tells him, my candle is in your hands. And your candle is in my hands. What does it mean? He says, כינר מצווה ותורה אור. The candle is a mitzvah and the light is the Torah. And who is holding it? We. From the other side that is being said, Ner Hashem Nishmat Adam. The candle of God is the soul of the human being. In other words, the neshama in us is the candle of God. So he says, you keep my candle, I keep your candle. It's a beautiful thing. If you keep the Torah, I'll keep your neshama.
We need to leave this candle.
That the light is the Torah. Ki ner mitzvah v'torah or. The ner by itself, when you don't lit it, it's nothing. You have to lit it, you have it, the light. And that's a beautiful thing. That's, by the way, the reason that we light a candle for the neshama. The neshama candles we have. What's the connection between the ner neshama to the neshama? Ki ner Hashem nishmat Adam. It's beautiful. Kiner Hashem, the candle of God, is the neshama of the human being. Says, you're holding my candle, I am holding your candle. Now if you turn off my candle, I turn off your candle. So you're better off, light my candle, let it shine. And when you're lighting the candle, let it shine. How? When you raise up your head with the Torah, so I will keep your neshama. In other words, the Rav Nevenzah says that we're talking here about education. Or, let's put it another way, you give tools to your children, to your pupils, to whoever you want. Now, you teach them something. How do you teach them? You light the candles and go away? You know, sometimes when you light the Hanukkah candles, if we don't do it very carefully, when we leave, it turns off. And what it's telling us, Ba'aluchat HaNerot, the explanation is, you make sure that they're going to lit by themselves. In other words, when you go, they're still going to be lit. Now, what's the idea behind it? When I teach somebody something, I can teach him, okay, you know, 1 plus 1 is 1, 2 plus 2 is 2, that's it. It can, okay. So now, what's happening is if it comes to 3 plus 3, doesn't know what to do. Because you only taught him 1 plus 1 and 2 plus 2. Now let's make it a little more understandable. If I just teach you like a parrot, I teach you, you're so yeah, no, yeah, katuki. Okay, what I say, you say. I say, you say, you say. What's going on? If I leave and you have a new problem, can you deal with it?
No.
No. So Ba'alot Chata Nerot means you give the tools. So when you leave, the other one that you left is going to deal with the problem and know how to deal with it because you gave him the right tools. So that is Ba'alot Chata Nerot. When you teach somebody something, when you teach your children something, you don't teach them like, okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. No, you give them tools. So when you leave them, they can manage by themselves. That's what we call Chochmah Bina Vadaat. Chabad. Chochma, Bina, Vada. Chochma is wisdom. Bina is the knowledge to connect the wisdom and make new things. And what is that? Yes. To put it to practice. Put it to practice.
and only when you assimilate that you can put in practice.
In other words,
that is to assimilate. So that is to,
when you take the wisdom, you take the wisdom. What she means, when you take the wisdom, exactly. When you take the wisdom and you connect things and you do them, and then that's a good teacher. That's a good rabbi.
You know, the Tessa from my mestrado, how is the master?
Yes.
In Brazil, it was in math, but it was this. I gave the tools for teachers to study, to teach mathematics through geometry.
True.
I proved everything that I do, not one plus one, but how to.
That's exactly the point.
Exactly.
This is Ba'alotcha et Hanerot. So we learned a great lesson that when we're talking about this world, what we're doing in this world, so we have to, first of all, to know what is the important stuff and what is less important. We should enjoy life, we should enjoy also the flesh desires, but our desire should be that everything is being done for God. Our desire is Ba'alotcha et Hanerot. Desire to raise up ourselves with the light of the Torah and take ourselves above the materialistic thing. In other words, when we're talking about eating heavenly food, we should be happy. Because this is why we're here. Okay, so unfortunately today we haven't got heavenly food, but we have to learn the lesson that when we go and we eat, don't forget why you eat. You don't eat for the desire of eating. You eat because you need to survive and you need to have power to worship God. And for this, you can have a beautiful car, you can have a beautiful home, you can have a beautiful clothes, you can have everything beautiful. God doesn't want you to suffer. But know what is important. Don't forget for a minute that you're not in this world in order to eat and enjoy the materialistic stuff of this world. It's like to go abroad, to buy clothes, to eat, to dine, to go to fancy restaurants. That's not why you're here. You are here to connect yourself to God, to elevate your spiritual side with the physical side. And this is the beautiful combination. And by the way, Am Yisrael are doing it in our parasha in a beautiful way. When we're talking about how they moved in the desert, Kuv'alpi Hashem Yachanu Ve'alpi Hashem Yisrael. When the cloud raised up and start moving, Am Yisrael packed everything and moved with the cloud. When they rested, Am Yisrael took everything down, put the camp, and waited till the cloud moved again. And sometimes it was for 5 days. Sometimes it was for 2 days. Sometimes they only took off the things from the donkeys or whatever they had there. And they didn't even finish building the tent, and the cloud moving. Al pi Hashem Yachanu, al pi Hashem Yisrael. They did everything according to what all God is ordering them. And that's the beautiful thing. Doesn't matter if it was 1 day, 2 hours, 1 month, 3 years, 10 years. They did exactly everything on pi Hashem, which is not very easy. But that's the beauty of Am Yisrael. In other words, it's not. Everything that we're learning is to understand that whatever we do is al pi Hashem. I told you the story, I think 2 years ago, my son celebrated with his wife the anniversary. The first one, the second one, I don't remember. They went to Caesarea on the beach to see the sunset, and then they were attended to go to a restaurant nearby, a kosher restaurant, of course. There's a nice restaurant there, and I'm on the way to a wedding on the other side of the country, and suddenly I get the phone call from my son. I lost the car keys. They were sitting there on the sand.
Someone saw.
With, let's say, with very short clothes, and it's getting cold, and the sun set on. They wanted to go to the car. They went to the car, and he looks for the keys. The keys fell into the sand. In the sand. And everybody helped to look for the keys, but you know.
Didn't find it.
If he would know that the minute that he lost it, that he could run around, but he went to the car already. Now, you try and look, and then it gets dark, yeah. You see nothing. So in other words, he planned a beautiful evening. But what do you say? Al pi Hashem yachanu, al pi Hashem yisaru. Everything is from God. You go to the makolit, you go to that, you have to say, Be'ezrat Hashem. Everything is al pi Hashem. And if we learn to live like this, Haboteach be'Hashem, chesed yisovevenu. God will surround us with all the good stuff of the world. We have to show our trust in God. That's the basic and the main thing. And this is one of the big lessons of our parsha. Shkoyach.